Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us is Cleveland Browns senior writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, Andrew Gribble. Great to see you today.
Hey, it's great to be back here. You know, we're winding down with our draft coverage, but we're winding back up with our rookie mini camp coverage and diving deep into those 12 players that have been on the roster.
The Gribbs, I got to tell you, you guys should get a big pat on the back. Turn out all that great contact, ClevelandBrowns.com, during the draft. And you keep it going here. And one of the articles that's there getting a lot of attention are the biggest questions facing the 12 draft picks of the rookies.
Yeah, tip of the hat to Kevin Jones. He really dug deep in that one. But it just really, it looks at maybe, you know, these players are really good. That's why the Browns drafted them. But to make that next adjustment to the NFL, you've got to answer a couple questions about your game. Even the top picks like Danny Shelton. Can he rush the passer the way like he did at Washington? You know, you don't see a big guy move around like that in the NFL very often. But can he do it? We'll wait and see.
And starting with Shelton. You know, he's going to be great against the run. You talked about, can he get to the passer? 9 sacks? I think he can do it. This is a guy who seems very athletic, collapsing the pocket on third downs if he needs to do that, and also being able to go between the numbers.
He really prides himself on making the plays outside the hash marks. You know, the college game, those hash marks are spread out a little bit more. He likes running sideline to sideline. He's a big guy. You know, he gets knocked for that 40 time, but he's really good at 10-yard sprints, and he's just a menacing guy. I don't know if he's going to have that 9 sacks in the NFL on a regular basis, but 3, 4, or 5, Browns would love to have that.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about Cam Irving, the second pick for the Browns in the first round. Where is he going to play, and how much can we find out this early in camps?
Well, you know, I think we can narrow it down to the right side of the offensive line for year one. You look at that right guard position with John Greco, right tackle with Mitchell Schwartz. I think he's going to be there, along with Michael Bowie, providing competition. I think we're going to get a better idea at rookie minicamp, see where they're lining him up, if it's going to be between that guard or tackle spot. Then you look long term, then it can get a little bit more interesting, because Alex Mack, obviously we know about the opportunity he has to opt out. Cam Irving maybe projects best at the NFL at center. But then again, I think the ideal situation is you bring Mack back and then you fit in Irving there as well. And you've got a good offensive line moving forward for the next few years.
I think the other interesting story, and it was on ClevelandBrowns.com, is with Cam and his love affair with the city. I mean, I don't know that he expected what was going to happen, and I think the fans have really embraced him, and he's super excited to be here.
Well, you know, Jameis Winston of Florida State takes up a lot of that spotlight. So, you know, Cam Irving's been kind of the man about town in Cleveland, and I think he really is going to embrace the city. He's a really smart guy. You know, he'd never been to a baseball game before, so he soaked it in at Progressive Field. Yeah, I think he's going to be a player that fans really like.
All right, so those are the top two picks for the Browns. On day two, they bring in three more guys, Nate Orchard, Duke Johnson, Xavier Cooper. But everybody wants to know about Duke Johnson. And when you think about the fact that this guy was the leading rusher in the history of the U, when they've had Gore, McGahee, Edgerrin James, Clinton Portis, that's kind of mind-blowing. And all of a sudden they're talking about he's going to come in here, he's going to be a third down back, he's going to return kicks. What's the story with the Duke?
Well, you know, I think the coaches kind of bristle when they hear the term third down back. It kind of takes on a negative connotation in the NFL, but clearly that's going to be a role he's going to embrace right away. But then you wonder what his long-term role is within that running back rotation. Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell, they're going to want some carries too. But I think if you can mesh those three together, get them when they're at their strongest, you're going to have three running backs running at the top of their game in the fourth quarter when you need them most.
I think it's going to be interesting to see if they view it kind of like the Patriots did when they had Ridley and Blunt, who are the running backs, and Shane Vereen, Sugar Shane as I like to call him, was kind of that pass-catching change of pace back. They were all running backs, but kind of played different positions. It'll be interesting to see if that's what Duke does or if he just gets right in the mix right away.
The key thing with him is obviously his hands. He had a ton of receptions, big plays out of the backfield, and we've heard it over and over again from John DeFilippo. He loves running backs that can catch the ball.
We're going to throw the ball to him.
It's
great.
He's going to be maybe one of those fantasy football studs early on.
All right, so you're talking about throwing the ball. Let's talk about day three then. When you pick up Vince Bailey, and now wide receiver. Everybody wants to hear about the wide receiver. Wide receiver. What's this guy going to do, and what's he going to look like?
You got to remember, Vince Bailey's only been playing football for a few years now, so he's still kind of a work in progress, but clearly, as a senior, he produced at Washington State, particularly as a downfield threat. He had 2 games over 250 receiving yards, had 90-yard catch, 81-yard catch, so he is a downfield threat. It's just a matter of where he works in within the receiving rotation. You know, a lot of talk about, a lot of criticism toward the Browns wide receivers. This might be one of the most competitive groups in camp. Travis Benjamin's going to want to be getting in the mix. Taylor Gabriel. And then you got the veterans, Brian Hartline, Dwayne Bowe, Andrew Hawkins. I mean, this is a deeper group than maybe is given credit for, and it's going to be a challenge for Vince Bailey to get in there right away. But if he proves he can be a downfield threat, they're going to give him the ball.
I don't know if he's going to ultimately be a vertical guy in the National Football League, and talking to a lot of scouts, Anquan Boldin is the name I hear the most in terms of what his game could be in the National Football League, and we certainly would take that here in Cleveland. One other real quickly, Ifo, the last pick of the draft, lottery ticket. I love it.
Yeah, you know, we talked with him earlier this week. I think he's been humbled throughout this entire process, both first with the knee injury, kept him out of the national championship, and then secondly, he's sitting there waiting for his name to be called. He had to wait all the way till the end of the seventh round, and he knew it was only because of his knee injury. You know, the ability hasn't been a question. He's a first or second round pick.
Absolutely.
If he is healthy. He's got a lot of experience, a lot of production at Oregon. And, you know, he was really one of those cornerbacks that was so good he wasn't really targeted all that much. So his stats really don't jump off the page. But, you know, he's about 4 or 5 months out. And the good thing with him is there's no need to rush him back. He's going to be 100%, 110% before they're even pushing him into action because, you know, the Browns have a pretty good situation at quarterback.
Yeah. All right, Gribbs, we'll make sure we read you at ClevelandBrowns.com. I can't let you go without you saying Happy Mother's Day to your mom. You better say it.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
See, there you go. Good enough. All right, Dog Pound Report rolls on right after this.
What do Andrew Hawkins and Taylor Swift have in common? We'll have to find out when Dog Pound Report returns with our social post of the week. And for FanFest tickets, we'll have to stay tuned to win.